Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right. We'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I'm very nice.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable Show, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball. Kevin Dan and Gary St. Jean here with you, reminding you that the Warriors 2025-26 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. Thanks for tuning in to the show. 888-957-9570. That's the number if you want to get in on the conversation with the saintly one and myself. And Saint, obviously a really tough week for the Golden State Warriors. Great homestand, 6-2. Maybe you'd like to be 7-1, but you're not complaining about a 6-2 homestand. But you are lamenting the fact, of course, that Jimmy Butler tore his ACL in that win over Miami. And this is a team that had been playing very well during this recent stretch, 12-4 in their last 16. And Jimmy himself, he'd been playing well all season. I know there were some comments about a month ago about how he's not playing with enough force or not getting enough shots up. I thought he'd been kind of playing well all throughout, but especially this last recent stretch of games. I mean, he had 32 points in the last game he played before he got injured. And, I mean, it just sucks to see. There's no other way to put it.
Well, you're talking about a player, Kev, that just has a court presence. Everybody in the league knows what he's about. He brings you toughness. He brings you confidence. He brings you intelligence. He's going to be sorely missed. I agree with you. I thought he was really playing quality basketball. Knowing his role, what was needed for him to help the team win, and I thought they've settled into a nice starting lineup and then the rotation. And so it's a darn shame. You know, you think of Tatum, you think of Halliburton, all these terrific players going down, and we've had all these Achilles situations. And yeah. You know, the ACL has come a long way with its surgery. And some people have made it back in 8 months' time and maybe a little bit more. I'm going to take you all the way back to Bernard King. And he was a great, great player with the Knicks in the, I would say, mid-'80s. And I was present at a game where he was playing the Celtics where he scored 65. And he tore his, and he never, ever got back to where he was, Kev. And I'm confident that with good surgery that he's going to come back because he's a determined guy. And it's tough for the team. And Steve Kerr and Draymond and Steph, they all said the right things. We got to move forward, and injuries are part of the business, and you got to have some luck to stay healthy to advance in the league.
Let's hear from Mike Dunleavy. He spoke before the Raptors game yesterday, speaking with the media. This is what he had to say about the Jimmy Butler injury.
Tough 24 hours here for our group, our organization, you know, most especially crushed for Jimmy, who, you know, he's having a great year. You know, obviously that's over now. So we're disappointed as a team, as an organization, you know, most especially, though, individually for Jimmy, who's meant so much to this organization since he got here. It's hard to believe he hasn't even been here a year, but he's fit in so well. And, you know, we hate it for him, but, you know, the beat goes on. We got to keep going. And I think our team's playing really good. I think we're playing some good basketball. And so that's the bright spot here. I don't have a positive twist on the news. It's not good. ACL injuries are not things that you can be positive about. But, you know, this will all come out well in the end, and we'll move forward. But I think our team's in a good spot, and obviously we've got some things to figure out over the next year in terms of roster finances and all that we'll sort through. But, you know, for now, we're just kind of getting through it here last 24 hours, and we'll figure it out.
You know, every time I listen to Mike, it takes me back to my days as general manager. And we went to North Carolina to Duke to visit with him, and Antoine Jameson joined us for dinner. And Mike was he's a class act. And, of course, I coached his dad, years and years ago. Your dad went on to be a great coach. And I'm really proud and happy that Mike's in that seat. He's got a good crew with him, and they're gonna do a good job and adjust here and keep moving forward.
You know, speaking of your GM days, have you ever had to deal with such a consequential injury 2 weeks before the trade deadline? And kind of like, how does that affect the thought process of a front office in a situation like this?
Kev, I think you just throw your hands up in the air. I remember one of the years we lost both Antoine Jameson and Larry Hughes right around Christmas time, which is similar to now. And you go, wow. I mean, when you lose pieces like that, you're going to try to stay positive and, you know, keep the chin up and all that kind of thing. But it's really, really difficult. But it's opportunities for other young guys. And we're going to talk about those guys tonight. And we'll see who's going to really step up in a needed situation.
Yeah. And here's the thing that kind of hurts the most. Jimmy's been so close to an NBA championship. He's won two titles. You know, he's going to be 37 next year. I figured this could be maybe, if not his last shot, this contract, his next to last shot to win an NBA championship. And the Warriors' net rating this year, I got this from Zach Harper of The Athletic. When Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond are on the floor together, the Warriors are a plus 6.9 points per 100 possessions. And it just shows you like how well they were working together, especially recently in that starting lineup with Moses Moody and Quinton Post rounding things out. Moses really starting to come into form. Quinton's taking a step forward defensively. The shot has taken a step back, but he had the big hit like his first four threes, I want to say, against Miami. And so, you know, maybe some hope there that the shot comes around. And like you said, like all that just kind of gets thrown out the window. Now, you know, maybe it's not all doom and gloom. Like Michael Dunleavy said, the team has been playing well. And let's hear from Steve Kerr, because he didn't exactly strike a total doom and gloom tone. He's saying, he thinks that the team is well equipped to continue to play at a high level.
Well, I think we're well equipped with our depth to continue to play at a high level. I like the team. I think, you know, the difference from last year to this year, to me, is Melton and Al Horford, not to mention Quinton Post for a full year. You know, at this stage last year, before we traded for Jimmy, didn't feel like we had enough to really compete. I think we have enough to compete. I think Al and Melt have given us a different dynamic. I think a lot of our young players, Quinton, Will Richard, those guys are ready to contribute. They have contributed. We've got depth, so we can keep this thing going. Obviously, we'll miss Jimmy, and he's one of the best players in the league, so you can't minimize that, trivialize it, but you play with who you have, and I like who we have.
Well, I'll say this to you. The Warriors do have as good a bench as just about anybody in the league. I would get in a good debate with you about that. For example, you compare them, say, to the Lakers, and they lose Reeves, and they have really been struggling. And the guys they have on their bench are just not ready to play significant winning basketball. And when I look at this bench, I can look down there and see some guys that I'm happy to see go in there, and I think they can keep it up for us. You know, Steve mentioned Melton, and I'm happy to see I'm happy to see him come back the way he has. He's done a great, great job. And, you know, we touched on the rookie a little bit. And it's interesting what's going to happen here, how the rotation's going to go. But you brought out a great point, Kev, when you got three super high basketball IQ guys and you put two shooters around them or quality players, your point production is going to be really good. And we use the expression that you can play through Jimmy. Now, what does that mean? It means you can give him the ball on the elbow. We always talk about that. And let him create. And if you don't play him straight, he's got a two-dribble option to get to the rim. But you also have to keep in mind that he can pass and pick. He can swing it weak side, and he understands timing and distance and all that kind of thing. And now some people are going to have to step up in those roles.
You mentioned D'Anthony Melton there at the beginning of what you were talking about. And look, he's 10 years younger than Jimmy Butler, so it's not apples to apples. But he tore his ACL November 12, 2024 in that game against the Dallas Mavericks. He returned December 4th, 2025, I should say. So almost 13 months. Not every recovery is the same, but like if it was the same for Jimmy Butler, that's through next year's All-Star break, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, you're right on it. Every individual is different. You'll have to let the swelling go down. And then, you know, a lot of these guys today, they'll have an opinion by the team doctors, but some of them may travel a great distance to get the surgery done, like, you know, the special orthopedic surgery in New York. They've got some great guys there and some great guys in the Curl and Job Clinic down in L.A. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But knowing Jimmy, he drinks a high-quality coffee. Maybe that's going to help his system. Well, he can sit on his table and do all the arduous therapy. I mean, it's monotonous, but you know what? He will do it. Knowing him, he'll be dogmatic about it. He'll do a great job.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about losing Larry Hughes and Antoine Jameson right around Christmas time for the season. I believe that was probably in the early 2000s, somewhere in there, because Jameson was a 98 draft pick, and I think Larry Hughes was traded in 2000 or 99, somewhere around there. How did that team move forward in the locker room?
That was really tough. They were our best two guys. They really knew how to play the game. I think it was that year that Antoine had two back-to-back 50-point games.
Oh, yeah, against Seattle and then Kobe Bryant.
In the NBA. Yeah. And, you know, so it was a struggle, I'll be honest with you. Our bench wasn't that great to take up the slack, and it was hard. But this is going to be tough. But people don't bring the flag down. Hang in there, because you do have Steph Curry. And I am going to share this with you. We saw this, when was it, Kev, a week or 10 days ago? One team, I think it was Charlotte, just decided to double team him all the time. And I think he had 12 assists and one turnover. You're going to see more of that now. Teams are going to really try to clamp on him. And his job will be tougher. But I'm confident with his decision-making. And then these other guys have got to step up and make shots. The more people play at a high level and make shots around them, the less they can double team them.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to take a break now. When we come back, we'll get into the Miami and Toronto games. Jonathan Kuminga making a return to the rotation last night. Taking your calls, 888-957-9570, right here on 95.7 The Game.
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Secure your seats for the home stretch following the All-Star break. Get the buzzer beater plan today. It includes games against the Lakers, Spurs, Rockets, and more. Call 888-GSW-HOOP or visit warriors.com to learn more. Back here on Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game, Kevin Danik, Gary St. Jean with you. If you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570, and we will head out to the phone lines right now. Bob is in Reno. What's going on, Bob?
What's up, guys? Good to hear you guys' voices on the round table tonight. I kind of wanted to get some opinions from you guys. Just with this whole starting lineup, I felt like there was finally a rhythm going with what we have with Jimmy Butler. You had Quinnen Post in there, Draymond, Steph, Moses Moody, and now it's kind of like, all right, so how do you guys really fill in that need with Jimmy Butler out? Do you guys go with the Will Richard? Do you go with Pods? Do you even just throw Melson in there because he's just balling right now? And the whole Kuminga situation, guys, what's his trade value you think in your guys' mind? And do you think the Minnesota series could be very crucial to see what teams are going to be really looking at with his trade value?
That's a great point. And you could go super small, but if you go super small, Boy, you better have some pit bulls on the boards. You're going to have to rebound, and that would be difficult. You know, Draymond does a great job. Steph Curry gets a lot of long rebounds, but I kind of think some of those guys will stay on the bench. And it takes me to who? Takes me to Kuminga. And, you know, this whole situation, you know, this is about respect, communication, getting good advice. And I think this is a talented young guy, and I don't even know who his agent is. Could Aaron be friends, Turner. Family, whatever. You know what his name is, Kev?
Aaron Turner. Yeah, he actually appeared on 95.7 The Game in September. I can't remember if it was Steiny and Guru or Willard and Dibbs, which show he came on. But when they were having the contract, when they were working through the contract, Aaron Turner came on 95.7 The Game, and he also went on the Hoop Collective podcast with Brian Windhorst to discuss the contract situation.
You know, you can have an inflated opinion of your client. And the NBA, I've explained this in the past, you rate all the guys at point guard, two guard, small forward. You have a book or a whiteboard or whatever, your iPad, and it's all rated. And then you put them down in salary structure and you say, okay, a guy like Kuminga, what are we going to call him? Is he a small four? Is he a three? That's debatable. Because of his inconsistency shooting the three, I look at him more as a small four. But with that said, he got a two-year deal, and there isn't any market out there for him right now. Now, there was an injury, supposedly, and he hasn't played for a long time. I give the guy credit. I thought last night, having not played for quite a while, he went out there and did a darn nice job. And I hope that's a beginning for him of a really nice run here the rest of the season. I frankly don't think he's going to be traded in the next couple of weeks. I don't know who the heck you're going to get in the deal. And, Kev, we've got to be conscious of the thought process. They don't want any long-term deals. What does that mean? They don't want any 3 or 4 year deal guy coming back for him. They want to be in line with Steph and Draymond and Butler to have their cap situation look very good if, in fact, at that time, one or two or three of them retire. So that really is a factor in this whole situation. If I'm sitting there and I'm him, I'm going to go out there and play my fanny off and get more interest around the league. The only two names I've heard today are Sacramento and Dallas. And, you know, you get Monk, he's got a multi-year deal. They brought up DeRozan and LaVine. Well, you got enough of those guys. So I look at this situation and say to myself, you don't make a deal to make a deal. You have to have a good deal on the table. And if it's not there, you play the year out, and hopefully for him and the team, there's a better market out there for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, as you were talking about the Kuminga situation, I remember seeing something on Twitter/X today from Bonte Hill, and like last night, in the Minnesota series, he scored a lot, but the Warriors didn't win any of those games after Steph went out.
Right.
And there might be, you know, the detractors of Kuminga would say it's empty calories. But then I saw this from Bonte Hill, and he said in 2023-24, the Warriors were 18-22 entering a game against the Atlanta Hawks. Kuminga went 11-for-11 that night, had 29, 9 boards, 2 blocks, 2 steals. Kuminga was 21 at the time. He ended up playing 35 of the 42 games the rest of the way, averaged 18.8 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 54% from the field, and the Dubs went 23-12 in those games. And he kind of rhetorically asked, were those empty calories or was he helping the team win? And I remember that stretch, and it was kind of like, I want to say it was right after the game where he got taken out against the Denver Nuggets in early January, where he didn't return to the lineup. And then there was that was one of the instances where he and Steve Kerr weren't exactly on the same page. But he played very well at the end of that season for that extended stretch that Bonte mentioned. So, I mean, there's definitely a middle line in between kind of the extremes here. And like you said, I thought he was really good against the Toronto Raptors last night. Now, they were down big when he really started to play well, but he has played winning basketball before. Like, I don't think that's deniable.
Sure. You know what? Great breakdown on your part. And sure, guys are going to say that. That's just going to be thrown out there. And that breakdown was really good. What you're going to analyze now is he's going to play primetime minutes against the quality opponents, and we'll see what he does. I just early in the year, I remember this like it was today. Yesterday, you and I had this discussion about our excitement. He had I don't know, Kev, how many games it was, but gosh, I kept seeing like 6 rebounds and 5 assists to go along with double-digit points. And I always look at their plus-minus and all that kind of thing. And it was all positive, everything, the whole thing. And I thought, here we go. This is a young guy. He's found his way. He now has it in check. And you helped me, Kev. Maybe he sprained his ankle or what the heck was it then? And, you know, then he was out for an extended period of time.
Yeah, he did get hurt at one point. He had been removed from the starting lineup. I think it was at Oklahoma City or maybe at San Antonio in that stretch. And then like the game he was moved to the bench, I think he got hurt. Then he missed some time. And we kind of saw last year, after he missed 31 games with that severe ankle sprain, it took him a while to get going again, as expected. Sure. And so, and then obviously fell out of favor in the rotation. But yeah, that's kind of where the situation is right now. And to answer Bob's question, I am kind of like you. And I mean, I'm not sure if Kuminga's going to start. He didn't start last night, but at least for the sake of how the rotation has been, how well Pajemski's played off the bench, how well Melton's played off the bench, I kind of like Kuminga in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that at all. Frankly, I don't really care who starts. I don't make a big deal about that. It's about minutes played and who's going to finish the last 6 minutes for me. And, you know, you mentioned it. You got some guys now that we talked about the last 3 weeks I think are playing a little bit more consistent. You know, Moody's playing better. Post is playing better, shooting the ball. I really like what Podzimski's doing. You know, and any of these guys, if you're not making your three, and you got a good shot, find somebody who's got a great shot. If it's not swinging the ball, put it down on the floor. Get in the paint and create for somebody else. I, for the life of me, if a guy's 1 for 7, he must have super duper confidence, because I would say to myself, hey, I that's not going tonight. I got to create another way to score. And, you know, I look at these guys and, you know, how about Hield? Now, there's the pro for me. I always thought he was kind of happy-go-lucky, and him and Jimmy Butler are really tight. And I give him a ton of credit because, you know, Steve defined his rotation. And, you know, you get some guys that you hold out of there and you have those talks with them and say, hey, I'm going a little different direction, but stay with me and keep working on your game. And gosh darn if Hield doesn't light it up. And he may get a chance to play more now. Now you got another three-point threat. I'm telling you, when you play the Warriors – you better be alert and define your shooters up on the whiteboard, because they've got an awful lot of them. And, you know, that's a good thing for us.
Hey, Buddy Hield, the last 3 games, 18.3 points per game, 12 of 18 from deep. We know he can A, wow, go on extended slumps, and B, go on extended heaters. He's had enough of a slump. I think it's time for a heater from Buddy Hield, and it's great to see his professionalism and how well he has played as of late. Again, if you want to talk to us, 888-957-9570. Let's head out to the phone lines. It's Dave in Sacramento who wants to talk about a couple of Kings players. I think this is related to the Warriors. Dave, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. So, I mean, honestly, I'm still holding out for Porter Jr., but I doubt it's going to happen. That would put us over the top. But, Coach, you just said it. You brought up DeRozan and LaVine. Now, I know that and I'm never going to think I know more about basketball than you. So let's just clear that up right now. So when it comes to DeRozan and LaVine, I know our defense will get weaker. But you sure will need to learn how to defend against our team, because we'll be putting up 100-plus points every single game. And I think that gives us a long playoff run. And that's all I got. I'll let you speak on it, Coach. I trust your opinion. Thanks.
Well, I was up there. Kev, I think I told you. I was up there 2 weeks ago. Lakers played the Kings. And on a back-to-back, they beat the Lakers. The Kings did. And they went on a three-game win streak. I think they beat Houston, and I forget who else, but somebody else good.
They beat the Knicks by double figures.
But that's it. You got it right there. I got to tell you,
they won four in a row. They also beat the Wizards, I think.
Yeah, I was with my daughter, Emily, my grandson, William. I'm going to tell you about his birthday party. I had to get my whistle out. I had 17 first graders out there. We had a dribbling station. We had a passing station, layups. Felt like the old times, but I was tired. So I get to that. But anyway, the point about DeRozan, I love him. And I think being from L.A., man, did he play a good game. Oh, boy, he was good. So that guy there is a pro's pro. LaVine got a big, big contract. Now, if he's happy and healthy, that guy can give you 40. So he's a bigger risk to me. But the Warriors have a lot of wing players. And I'm not sure the length of their contracts, Kev. Do they have this plus one more, the both of them?
I want to say DeMar signed a 2-for-70 deal, and I'm looking this up on SpoTrack right now.
Yeah, I'll discuss.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say,
you know, I have a wealth of respect for those guys. Okay.
Yeah.
I got a lot of respect for them. And I'm pulling for the Kings every time they don't play, say, the Lakers or the Warriors. But I was up there really cheering for them. And I don't know what's going to happen up there. That'll be interesting. But if I'm somebody looking for a wing player, you got to have them on your list. There isn't any doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, those two certainly interesting options. At the beginning of this year, Zach LaVine was on it. Absolute terror. He was averaging like 29 points per game through the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. He can do that. He is a microwave scorer. It's more than just, you know, the slam dunk contests of, you know, his, you know, first couple of years, he and Aaron Gordon in those pretty legendary slam dunk contests back, you know, 9-10 years ago now. But he could really, really fill it up. I'm a fan of DeMar DeRozan as well. Quick DeRozan story for me. So I was a manager at Stanford. I've probably said that 2 million times at this point. My senior year was his freshman year at USC, and we lost a game at USC by 1 point. And one of the deciding plays down the stretch, DeMar DeRozan went up, got cleanly blocked by our guy Lawrence Hill, but they called a foul and he hit 2 free throws. And I like was kind of holding that over him in my head. Like, oh, we got screwed. DeMar DeRozan, you know, ref bias against Stanford, this, that, and the other thing. We play them it was my senior day. I actually got honored, believe it or not. But so on senior day, we play USC and DeMar DeRozan. And it's like the exact same situation. DeMar DeRozan's about to go up for a dunk on Lawrence Hill. I'm like, oh, Lawrence is just going to throw this into the third row. And DeRozan hammered it so hard over him. I was like taken back. I was like, oh, wow, that was nice. And we don't really think about DeMar DeRozan as like a monster athlete. We never really, I mean, the last 10 years or whatever, think about him as Mr. Midrange. This guy could get up.
Hey. Maybe when he was young. He doesn't do that anymore. But I'm going to tell you, his mid-range game, what they did is they, in all their play action, they ran some pick and roll, and there was a switch by the Lakers. And, oh, by the way, then he was going against Doncic. And he just lit him up. It was beautiful to see. I'm going to make one more note about the Kings, and I know we want to keep talking about our Warriors. Think about this. They've lost Sabonis for almost a whole year. He's just come back. Murray's out. So that's two of your top five players. And it's hard to function in this league when you got your prime time guys out. But, you know, we keep saying we got to go onward and upward. But, you know, respect to those guys who get injured and hope they can get healthy.
Yeah, and you're hoping, obviously, speaking of injuries, for a speedy recovery. Speedy is the name of recovery. can be Butler. And kind of the impressive thing about that Heat game is that the Warriors immediately went on a 12-0 run after he got hurt. And you could tell by Quentin Post's reaction that the players on the floor knew it was serious right away. They might not have known it was an ACL, but players knew that Jimmy wasn't going to be coming back anytime soon. Yeah. And they responded with that 12-0 run. Brandon Podziemski really turned it up a notch, a season-high 24 in that game. And look, you talk about guys who need to step up. Brandon has really been stepping up. I mean, he had a four-game stretch where he was at 18.5 per game before last night. And that's another guy who will be needed.
Oh, there isn't any doubt about it. And, you know, it's just playing within the flow of the game, and you can learn so much from playing with Steph Curry. And, you know, Pod's been a little bit up and down, but this four-game stretch, he's letting it come to him. I don't think he's forcing a lot of stuff. And I like his decision-making. And the biggest thing with him, I don't think he's got to get hung up on the three ball. You know, I love his toughness to rebound. That's winning basketball. I love his toughness to take charges. One of the best in the entire league. That's winning basketball. And when he makes good decisions on the court, he's going to help his team win. He doesn't have to knock down five threes. You know, you got Moody, you got Hield, and you got that guy Curry. Is that his name?
Yeah, I think so.
You got enough three-point threats. And Post, who I think is now back in the groove.
And when he comes back from sciatica, you got that other Curry on the team who is a career 43% three-point shooter. And hopefully Seth Curry can come back sooner than later. He was on the TV broadcast with Bob Fitzgerald and Clint Azubuike during the Charlotte game on Saturday. Talked a little bit about kind of where he was in his recovery. But, there is plenty three-point shooting to go around for this team. No doubt about that. But, you know, that Miami game, it kind of felt like they were a team – the Warriors who were playing on adrenaline from a tough situation. And then last night it all came crashing down when reality, you know, kind of settled in. And look, the Raptors loss in Toronto was probably the worst loss of the year. It would have taken a Herculean effort to win last night's game, considering you just get the news about Jimmy Butler. I thought really that was going to be a really tough one for Golden State to win.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. You played so well the night before, and back-to-back home games. We never had any of those in my day. We did play three nights in a row. We did play four games in five nights. I mean, you were in hotels. You had no idea where the heck you were. You know, you didn't have cell phones back then, so you had alarm clocks going off in the middle of the night and that kind of thing. And so it was a different world back then, but I don't know why they're doing this, but maybe the Warriors, these back-to-backs are going to – they've had a lot of them, it seems. I have no problem with these two games. I really don't. If anything, who's next? Dallas. And that team there now, watch out. They've found their stride a little bit. There's a guy named Thompson coming off the bench, and the last four or five games –
he's shooting it.
Like he won his days. That was the guy with the Warriors, right? And
the guy who scored, 37 points in a quarter?
Right. I'm so happy for him. They're playing better. And you know, we'll talk about Post after. But I think this trip's going to be okay. Kev, I know you're going to bring that up soon. And they're tough opponents. But you know, let's go.
Yeah, we got a couple more minutes in this segment, so we have another caller we want to get to. Big Al in SF wants to talk about where the Warriors are headed after Butler's injury. Big Al, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Hell of a homestand. They had 10 of 11 at home, including 8 in a row, did 6-2 on the road at home. And they played pretty well in those games. You know, they laid an egg against Atlanta. And, you know, that is what it is. Atlanta's a long team. Toronto is a very long team, too. And long teams give Golden State trouble. And that's historical. You go back to those Milwaukee teams in the middle of the last decade. They were long and always had trouble with those teams. Those teams gave Golden State trouble. And but they came out 6-2. Unfortunately, they lost Jimmy. But I look at it as a loss. I think, you know, to say that, you know, to say it's okay, well, you know, it is what it is. But I'm actually fairly confident in this team. I think they're going to have a hell of a road trip. I'm looking at 2-2, 3-1. But I'm also looking at this as a very grand opportunity for a guy that a lot of people don't, you know, they think that he was, that ship him out as fast as you can. I've never been in that camp. But Jonathan Kuminga is going to have an opportunity to be able to show that, to show his worth. He's not going to get traded now, okay? Because he doesn't, his value is so far down that, you know, that nobody in the league wants him because he didn't play for what, 18 games or something crazy like that. But if Jonathan Kuminga can take a role, and not, we're not saying he should be Jimmy Butler, but if you could take the role that Jimmy did, play the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game, come be the first one out in the rotation, and then come in and be the scorer on the second team, then he doesn't necessarily have to play off Curry, which has never really been a good fit. And he can end up, he can be in that rim runner that we need on the, on, you know, on the second team, getting to the basket, getting to the foul line, and not having to worry about the spacing with Curry. I think it might, that part can end up being okay. Is he going to be the defender Jimmy's going to be? Well, defense is effort. Let's see what happens. But I'm not as bearish on what's happened here with the Warriors, that the Warriors are done and they're going to have to trade everybody and start all over again. I don't believe in any of that nonsense. Anybody, you know, quite honestly, you know, people that are taking that, that stand are, you know, they're the same people that are, that they're staying on 13 when they're playing, you know, when they're playing against a 10 in a blackjack game.
So. Oh, wow. Okay.
I love,
I love my blackjack references. Thank you for the call, Big Al. I like your idea of how to use Kuminga kind of as like that guy in the second unit that can, I mean, not exactly a Jimmy role, but Jimmy-esque role with no Jimmy Butler there. Join us live at Chase Center on Friday, January 30th to see the Warriors versus the Detroit Pistons. First 10,000 fans get a Draymond Green Michigan State University bobblehead. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives standing by. We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about a little bit of organizational history that was made on MLK Day, something that had never happened in this Golden State organization before. And we'll talk about the upcoming road trip. Take your calls as well, right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound. Look, stop that!
Chicken!
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
The Santa Cruz Warriors are back at Chase Center. Bring your family on Sunday, March 1st to watch them take on the San Diego Clippers. Plus, the first 10,000 fans will score Santa Cruz Warriors Jimmy Butler III bobblehead. Get your tickets now at ChaseCenter.com. That'll be a lot of fun, the annual Chase Center game for the C-Dubs, a tradition that dates back to, well, if you count the Oracle days, back to 2017. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean with you here on 95.7 The Game, taking your calls for the next 10 minutes or so, and we head out to Dylan in Castro Valley. What's up, Dylan?
Okay, I had a wild two-sided approach to Jonathan Kuminga I thought I'd ask you guys about. One would be to ask Kuminga to pretty much replace Jimmy Butler and go inside a lot more into the paint offensively, and on defense get really busy, you know, clogging up the paint against the other team, and just see how he does trying to be Jimmy Butler's replacement. The other alternative would be to trade Jonathan Kuminga right now straight up for Klay Thompson or straight up for Andrew Wiggins and bring either Andrew or Klay back. That's my two sides of what to do with Jonathan Kuminga.
I love it. Those guys both got standing ovations when they came back, and I was happy for Wiggins. That was quite a reception that he got. You know, those aren't that far-fetched. You know, maybe they'll think about those. That's worth thinking about. And again, the contracts are the key. When you're opening the door to any of these trades, it's about the numbers first and to see if you can do it. Kev, you know better than me. In my day, you were able to make a deal if it was in the two guys were within 15% and 100,000. And they've made it easier now to make deals. It's a much bigger number than that. But that's a good thought. And your thought on Kuminga in the post, gosh darn it, I'm old. Nobody goes in the post anymore. What is post play? And, when guys get down there and get in the post, and they can be effective as passers too. And Kuminga, I think, likes to back his way in there against the mismatch. He's good with it. But I'll be gosh darn, I don't see many guys just running a cross pick and getting the guy on the box or whatever that. We just don't see it much anymore, but it's a sound thought.
Yeah, so just to do the contract thing, Andrew Wiggins is making $28 million this year, and Kuminga is making $22.5 million, with the Warriors being like $200,000 below the second apron. They would need to throw another contract in there. Now, they could. I don't know Dallas's kind of apron, kind of where they are, but Clay is making $16.7 million this year. So, like, there's like a $5 million difference between Kuminga and Clay's contract. So, the Dallas would probably have to throw someone else in that trade. Dylan, I do appreciate the call. So I promised that we would talk a little organizational history that happened on Monday. I'm the only person that cares about this, so I will preface it by saying that. But at 2 p.m. on Monday, January 19th, the Santa Cruz Warriors played a G League game and won their G League game. And for some reason, it's the Valley Suns. All right, they played Phoenix's G League team. In that game, LJ Cryer and Malachi Lyons played heavy rotation minutes. They are on two-way contracts. At 7 p.m., they were up at Chase Center. And by the way, I don't know if they went on 17, but 17 on MLK Day, like around 4 or 5 p.m., bumper to bumper because everyone's leaving to go home from the holiday weekend. So the game ends at 4 o'clock. The Golden State Warriors play at 7 p.m. that night. At the end of that game, because it's a blowout, Malachi Lyons and LJ Cryer get into the game. And they are the first players in organizational history to play in a Santa Cruz Warriors game and a Golden State Warriors game in the same day. And especially since there was only a five-hour difference between games, that was one of the tougher ones. The GTV Hoops on Instagram, it's a G League Instagram page, kind of documented this on IG. Just quickly, I'm looking at a list that this has happened at least 107 times. It's like 98% full of like all the instances. Some of the more interesting names: Pascal Siakam, Jakob Poeltl, Ivica Zubac, and Fred VanVleet have all played in G League and NBA games on the same day.
Kev, you know, in the summertime, I sat with you and we watched Cryer play. And he got us excited. He did a great job. So I'm happy for him that he has the opportunity. I don't know. Maybe Steph paid for a police escort for those guys. You know, that's happened in the past.
They needed one to get up to Chase Center.
Yeah. To deal with Highway 17, you don't win that battle. But good for those guys. I think that's terrific. And getting the opportunity to sit on an NBA bench and get a feel what it's all about. You've told me over the last couple of weeks that the G League team is doing much better. And that's good to hear. I love the connection between the two teams. I think it's terrific for the Warriors. So we'll keep pulling for them. And the guy Cryer, he intrigues me.
LJ, he hit a three in that Miami Heat game at the very end of it. Santa Cruz Warriors, led by head coach Lane Wilson, doing a nice job. GM Zach Harris, the son of Larry Harris, has made some nice moves this year. Yeah, so Zach is running the show.
Kev, why do you keep doing it? You're getting me again. Because one of my old NBA friends is Del Harris, who's Larry's father.
There you go.
Now we got a third generation.
Yeah.
You're touching on the age a little bit.
Quickly, let's let you know about some upcoming broadcasts presented by Ticketmaster. The Warriors begin their four-game road trip in Dallas tomorrow, 4 p.m. on the air, 4:30 tip time with Tim Roy on the call here on 95.7 The Game. Then they head to Minnesota for a little baseball series Saturday at 2 p.m. On the air, 2:30 tip time. And then Monday, January 26th, 6 p.m. on the air, 6:30 tip time. They wrap up the road trip in Utah on Wednesday, January 28th, 5:30 on the air, 6 p.m. tip time. Then come home to face the beast from the east, the Detroit Pistons, Friday, January 30th, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call. So saying they got this four-game road trip coming up, one against Dallas, two in Minnesota, one in Utah. What's your goal?
I'll be happy. Like I always say, let's go 2-2. I think this is a tough trip. They're catching Dallas, playing well. And of course, they got a wealth of experience, respect for Minnesota. That's a tough place to win. And Utah, they beat somebody good the other night. Who the heck was it? But you got to watch out with them. That kid George is a heck of a young player. Markin is not even playing. And I don't think they want to win a lot, but they have been winning. So it's a tough trip. But you know what's nice, Kev? No back-to-backs.
No back-to-backs, and they come home and they have a day in between games too as well. So nice. That is huge for Golden State. We got a few minutes left here. Let's talk a little bit about the Dallas Mavericks. It kind of looked like they were going to punt the season once Anthony Davis had that injury that's going to keep him out for 6 weeks. But they've been winning games. They've won three in a row. They won at New York. They blew out the Knicks on MLK Day.
The Boo Birds.
The Boo Birds came out at MSG, that's for sure. And look, you got Cooper Flagg, and look, Anthony Davis might not play for another month and a half, but they do have next year Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, if they decide to keep him, Cooper Flagg, Klay Thompson shooting well off the bench, and we'll see what kind of draft pick they get this year. I mean, they didn't have the best lottery odds last year and wound up with the number one pick, so this could be a team that's pretty well positioned for next season.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. Kyrie's doing well in his rehab. I don't think he'll come back till after the All-Star game or at all. And, Davis has had an injury-plagued year, but wealth of respect. I don't think he gets moved till the end of the season. Another guy. Big, big contract. I'm happy for Clay. He's playing better. What's his name? Najee Marshall?
Playing really well
for them. But I'm going to tell you, I'm just so happy for Clay. He's found a rhythm coming off the bench and really playing well. And, you know, I'm a big Jason Kidd guy. And there's a guy there now who's the co-acting GM. His name's Matt Riccardi. And I was doing some scouting for them years ago, and Greg was working for them. And, boy, he's a terrific guy. So I hope good things happen for them down there. That's a good franchise. That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, no, it is. Klay Thompson, despite the slow shooting start, and he has historically had slow shooting starts basically even before his big injuries. That's been a thing with him. He's up to 38% from three this year.
That's pretty darn good.
That has been great to see for the career 41% three-point shooter and five-time All-Star. Well, we have run out of time. We will be back with you next week. A big thank you to Mark Grandy and Lucas Alexander behind the scenes at our 95.7 The Game studios, R.C. Davis and Marika Cleto on the Warriors side of things. For Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Dana saying adios, and we will speak to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three, cha-ching! 58-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout, because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.